I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Tech Magic, the podcast where we talk about everything happening in the tech space, gaming space, innovation, you name it. I'm your host, Kathy Hackle, and I'm joined by my guest co-host, Lee Keebler. Lee, how are you?
I'm great. I've had a great week. There's so much happening in the tech space, and I'm so thrilled to hear all about, like, the resurgence of spatial computing and the Apple Vision Pro, and it's like it's 2016 again.
I know, right? I feel like it's this moment we've all been waiting for such a long time. It's like a catalyst moment. I don't know. I'm so thrilled, but I've had a great time, great couple of days, really focused on family, which has been very nice. You know, I even, this weekend, I even went a little retro and we had really nice weather in the DC area on Saturday, and my kids wanted to spend time outside. And my daughter was like, I want to learn how to, rollerblade. And I was like, well, I don't know how to rollerblade myself, but I know how to roller skate, like, you know, regular retro roller skates. So I went and bought some at Target and I got her rollerblades, and yeah, I was like roller skating away in my neighborhood. I was like, I haven't done that in such a long time.
What's so funny is, like, in August, I got rollerblades myself. Now, I haven't dedicated myself to using them as much as I, like, want to, because I still remembered how to rollerblade. That wasn't the problem. I couldn't remember how to stop. That's a problem.
Oh, no.
Yeah, stopping. I was like, wait, how the heck do you stop in these things? It was one of those things where it's like, this is not like riding a bike. I
don't. No, yeah. No, I went retro and got the regular
the quads,
roller skates.
I think they call
like
quads.
Old school.
Yeah,
roller derby
with the stopper on the front.
Yes, like old school. They still sell those. Actually, it was super fun. I had a
Yeah, roller derbies made them really popular. I think there's probably a little bit of resurgence after like all of the roller skating in the Barbie movie last year.
There will be a resurgence in beach as well, because
yes,
we, you
yes.
know, can. So talking a little bit about that and retro stuff, Mean Girls, did you watch it?
I haven't
did
seen you know? It yet, and yeah. it's in like, it's kind of surprising I haven't seen it yet, because I was I loved that movie. That movie came out right when I was like a freshman in college or something like that, yeah. And it was just one of those, there was this period of time where we had just a lot of really great comedies that all hit at once, yeah. And it was like, you had Mean Girls come out and Napoleon Dynamite, and like, yeah. There were some other ones in there that just, they were all over the place. And you don't see a ton of great comedy right now for some reason. We're getting a lot of, like, I don't know. I kind of blame Netflix a little bit on it. Like, I've noticed that Netflix has a tone right now, and it's this very like grayed, monotone, colored, dark crime dramas that move really slow, but they're just engaging enough to get you to go to the next episode. Somewhere they've hit an equation that is like, this story, if we tell it over and over again, and everyone has to have a vaguely British accent, that is the equation that Netflix has hit to keep retention. And I don't know how long until that changes, but I'd like
I don't
to see
know.
I think that's why Barbie did so well. It was just, we finally had color again. Yeah. There was just color. Bright colors.
Yeah, you go, Glenn Coco, right? but I watched it. I watched Mean Girls on my flight back from Europe. I was actually, okay, I'm going to watch a couple movies. So I rewatched the original Mean Girls, the classic. And I mean, I loved it. I remember I just, you know, I had watched it a million times, but it I don't know. I really enjoyed it. And then went to see the newer version of the Mean Girls musical and enjoyed that a lot. Actually enjoyed it quite a bit. I thought it was really well done. And yeah, they, I mean, they adapted a lot of things to today's age, which makes sense. There were some things that were really, that would not fly nowadays. But it was really fun. I mean, I really enjoyed it. I didn't take my kids because I was just, I wasn't sure. I wanted to see it first. But yeah, I mean, Renee Rapp as Regina George was amazing. Like, I don't know. I had a great time watching it. And, you know, I'm a big movie person and like going to the movies. I still enjoy being, you know, in the movie theater.
Well, you know,
that was fun.
Funny thing, and a lot of people missed it. This was kind of a sore subject. As people know, I'm in Portland, Oregon. And we just had this like horrible, horrible ice storm where, like, for those who don't know, like, this ice storm like knocked out power. People had like were without power for like days on end. It wasn't just like, oh, our lights flickered. Like, no, people, it was bad. And Tina Fey and Amy Poehler were supposed to perform
their comedy show
at the Moda Center, and they got like one performance out and then it just got canceled. So I think they are coming back though. I think they're coming back. And Tina Fey's been busy. She's got a lot going on with Mean Girls. She's got, you know, she's doing the live event stuff again. Like, that's kind of cool. I'm excited to see it.
Well, you know what I kept thinking when I saw it? I was like, everything's a remix. Like, I feel like there's this nostalgia period. Everything's a remix. I don't know. And that's kind of how I feel a little bit when I think about the Apple Vision Pro. Like, I know it's new hardware, but the ads, remember how we talked last time?
The ads
are like in parallel to this moment in time. It's like everything's a remix in some ways. And and yeah, I've been thinking a lot about, you know, the launch of the Apple Vision Pro, which to everyone listening here, you know, you guys know, like, we're all
very excited.
If you
found the podcast, you know what we're talking about. Yes. If you hadn't, where are you?
Where are you looking for? But yeah, me, I'm super excited. Definitely hypey. I feel like someone was talking on LinkedIn today about, like, is anyone, you know, tired of the Apple Vision Pro hype? And for me, it's like, yes, I'm excited about the hardware. I can't wait. But it's also about, like, spatial computing and having these serious conversations about how computing expands and all these sorts of things. I will tell you, just in thinking over the last couple of days of when I truly fell in love with technology, like truly, truly that moment for me, there's this aha moment. And there's a really great quote from Tim Cook when he was talking about spatial computing and how people are going to have these aha moments. And I feel like on Friday, once they start being sold in the US and more people get to, you know, wear the device and everything, there's going to be these aha moments. And for me, when I truly, truly, truly say, like, I really fell in love with spatial computing, I would say it was a time when I was working at Magic Leap and I got asked to go to downtown Atlanta to do, I think it was the Girl Scouts, do some demos for girls interested in STEM. And I put the device on some young Girl Scout, you know, they were probably like 13 or so. And they were seeing this beautiful blue whale floating through the skyline in Atlanta. And I have a picture, I have a photograph from that activity with the Girl Scouts. And it's this girl just in awe, like her face, everything in her being is just in awe, like having that aha moment. And I was like, wow, that was one of those moments where I think that I really, truly did fall in love with technology and with spatial computing specifically, of the power of giving us new experiences that we've never had. And I think that that is what we're at the cusp of in the next couple of days, right? This goes live on Wednesday and Friday is the big day. And you're going to see that all over the news, all these expressions of like, wow.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because I might disagree with you on it being that soon. Let me play devil's advocate a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, no worries.
I think it'll be the next iteration. I think the people who will see the wow, and this is what I think the hype train's doing, and I've said this in the past, but I think that this hype train is preparing a mass population to adopt something in the next cycle. This one's too expensive. This one has some things going against it. This one is a very polished developer kit. And this thing's going to launch companies, right? Like, it will create the next, like, spatial computing Rovio. It will create that next studio to make something that you never really thought you even wanted.
The next
right?
Media like, Monks or the next you know, Droga5 for real.
Yeah. And those companies will be a part of it as well. Like, don't get me wrong, but I'm saying it's one of these things where it's like, that's what this thing is supposed to do. When it finally drops down and that hype continues to build, so people want it, but they can't afford it or they can't justify it, right? But when it drops to that I don't, I'm making a number up here. I don't know what the number is. I'm just this is the top of my head. This is my speculation, crystal ball, reading tea leaves over here. When it drops that $1,800 mark, when it's just a little bit more than your iPhone, mm-hmm. and it's not $3,500, and it's also lighter, and it's also a little bit more powerful, and it does a da-da-da-da-da, when it does that leap from iPhone 1 to iPhone 3G, then mm-hmm. people are going to buy it. And that price point is still high comparative to everything else on the market, except for itself, in which case it sounds like a really good deal. Like, it's really a yeah. good way to build momentum behind a product to get mass adoption that I've not seen anyone else do. And I don't think any other company makers. Could do it. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, Apple's yes. a category maker at the end of the day. And yeah, no, I do have to agree with you, but I do think that those demos, like, people are going to have like that,
Yeah.
They won't buy it per se just yet.
Yeah.
I do agree with you on that part, but I do think there's going to be a lot of ooh and ah, and like, I'm even considering, maybe next week, going to New York and having a few private demos. So some people listening to the podcast, you might get a private invitation to some demos. Cause you know, I'm obviously doing a lot in spatial computing, and I'll share more later, but yeah,
I think the demos are good. I have my own worries about it because we have seen some feedback of like, it's not a perfect headset. Right. And I think for $3,500, everyone who's just a commercial, purchaser, you know, like mm-hmm. just your standard buyer in Apple or even Apple fanboy, whatever. There's an expectation that like all of it has been smoothed out. This is not the case.
No, this is a version one. Like, I feel like this is like DK1 from Oculus.
This is yes. You know? And like, the biggest complaint that I've heard is that it's heavy. That it has some weight. And so there is, and it is like, they've done some things to be clear. They've removed the battery pack. I think mm-hmm. that was a smart move that now goes into a back pocket. That's great.
Yeah.
But it's still, even without that battery pack, still heavier than like, say, the Quest 3, which has the battery built into it. And even I still say the Quest 3 is a little bit too heavy. It does contribute to some neck fatigue in time. But as a development kit, as a thing that start a company on, as a thing that you use to get to the next iteration, that's not that big of a deal. That's not a deal breaker by any stretch of the imagination. The fact that it has so much computing power. I mean, the thing has more computing power than your MacBook Pro. Mm-hmm. I didn't say MacBook Air, MacBook Pro. Right? It's got your M2 chip plus whatever an R2 chip does that is a mystery to all of us. So there's just a lot going on that I think we're going to see still a little bit of him and hawing even after it's out. But it's that next one.
It's the thing behind the thing. But also, this is what I think no one is talking about. And I should write an article about this, is that everyone's focused on the hardware. And yes, it is. But like, you also have to think about the iPhone 16, the iPhone 17. They're going to add more and more like spatial capabilities. Like my 15 Pro Max, the only reason I bought it, really, to be honest, why I upgraded was because I wanted to shoot spatial video that I could see my Vision Pro eventually.
And Meta's saying that they're going to support that same video too.
Yeah.
Which I think is great. I'm glad that there's like becoming, because you and I have both worked in what was considered like not spatial, but like photogrammetry and you know, use a lot of like depth sensing camera work and things like that. And the biggest issue why those technologies, while we both love them, is they don't have like a distinctive format, right? No one can get on the same page. So Apple saying, no, this is our format. And then Meta saying, cool, okay, we have to support that format of video content. Yeah. At least starts causing the conversation to go into the right direction of getting people on the same format.
Well, I think that's going to be a huge thing, right? Over the next couple of years. And I think there are going to be probably, you know, one reigning format, but there might be other formats that people use. And
well, like MP4,
I think people need
to
agree eventually, right? These alliances need to agree on, you know, USDC or whatever.
Right. So. And we have a ton of like video formats, but let's face it, like Apple had a lot to do with formalizing what did and didn't work, right? Mm-hmm. And so did, you know, QuickTime was huge when I was, you know, entering the development space. So, you know, it's what they do. You know, they've done it every time. When the iPad came out, they basically squashed Flash games and forced the entire internet to upgrade to HTML5. Thank God. The internet is so much better.
Thank you.
that they actually forced someone's hand to adopt like a next generation of HTML. So this is what they do. And I'm excited for it.
Yeah, me too. And I think it's a category. They're category creators. Everything's a remix, right? It's like we're bringing It's interesting because someone was like talking about the Newton, the Apple Newton. I think that was the name.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that was a big fail. But I'm sure they learned so much about it that they probably put some of that technology into something else.
Apple flopped around until the iPod, right? Like they did have a go of it for a long time where people had written them off. It was that resurgence of the iPod. And I think the biggest thing that they did that contributed to their adoption, and I don't think enough people give them credit for this, is they invested computers into the public school system. So like when I was in high school, our computer labs, not because it was what the computer lab necessarily wanted, but they got free or heavily discounted computers from Apple. And so we learned how to use
the
Apple machines.
Ones, I remember.
Our
lab was all full of the colorful ones. It looked so pretty.
And it helps to make that like mass adoption, you know? And so
I'm truly excited. I've got the first appointment at 8 a.m. at the Pentagon Row, Apple store here in DC. I've got like a film crew coming and some TV stations following me. I'm really excited. I'm already super busy with media interviews. So talking to a lot of media that are really interested in understanding, okay, what is, you know, as an Apple Vision Pro developer and as someone that's been in spatial computing for a while, like what does this mean, et cetera, especially as I work on launching some really cool things pretty soon. I mean, big news. I think that's like the big tech news, right? Of the week.
It is. If you don't pay attention to all of the like AI conversation constantly being batted around.
I think spatial computing and Vision Pro are going to get their day on Friday.
They are. Absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
I think that's what everyone's kind of like betting on. I will say something I do want to mention because I think it is AI related, very important as a woman and as in general, is everything that's been happening with Taylor Swift and the deepfakes, the very disturbing deepfakes of her all over Twitter, now X, and, you know, everything that happened there. And Sinead Vobel, who's a fellow futurist, she's been over CNN, like she was at CNN. She's been mentioned in The View about enacting some type of legislation to protect against deepfakes. So it's I don't know what the legislation is, but it's around consent and deepfakes and, you know, and everything. And I, you know, as a woman, as a mother of several children, like I think there's going to have to be something something that needs to happen, some guardrail, because this is pretty crazy. It is pretty crazy what we're seeing.
I'm not entirely sure how they fix it. I'm not entirely sure how legislation fixes it, right?
Type of penalty. I mean, I don't know, some type of consent. I don't know, but it's pretty disturbing.
Well, this sounds absolutely insane, and it feels like it's a complete divergence to the topic, but it goes back to this. Like there were arguments that we were making back in 2015 when it came to why the internet should be treated like a utility. And a lot of that had to do with, because we kind of have this open bordered internet that it's incredibly hard to police, or it's incredibly difficult to monitor when things get out of hand. Now, there are certain things that we have been able to somewhat combat. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, because we have all of these half the time publicly traded like ISPs, like internet service providers and all this. This is why like in municipal based internet providers got some legs behind it, because at least at that point you can start fixing this at the root of the problem. But we lost that fight. Like that was a fight that was attempted and lost and continues to be kind of a pain in everyone's side, because bad legislation was written in 1985 for like cable companies. Like, I don't know what you do.
I hope that there's some legs to this, and I hope that there's discussions, and I hope that there's something done. I mean, I will find, you know what, I'll send our producer the link to the legislation. It's actually something that a congressman, I think out of New York, had been talking about. But I don't remember the name right now, but I don't know. It's
so
chilling.
Hard.
It's really chilling.
It's very chilling. And it's like, this is a weird sentence to just say out loud. I'm tired of being glad that of when I was born, right? Like, and yeah. I didn't have to deal with all of this stuff. I feel like for the majority of humanity, people grew up, got older, and said, "Oh gosh, the kids have it so much better than we had it." And that's just not true right now. No. Like, it is so much harder to be a kid today. And I am just so thankful for being like a 90s kid. Like,
yeah.
Even when you watch Mean Girls,
I'm gonna be honest, even if you watch like the bullying and everything's the same, but it's like different because it spreads like wildfire now when it's like on social and it kind of lives on forever. So I don't know. It's such a good point. About that. I mean, I do want to work towards a better world for my kids, but gee willikers, I mean,
whew. Well, yeah, it's going to take, I'm tired of saying, I think I've said it on every episode. We're on episode like what, 16? I think I've said it 16 times. Maybe the EU will fix it. Because I don't know how we do this.
Well, I don't think the party is particularly good at, at regulating certain things, especially not technology or big tech. But anyway, so yeah, Vision Pro, super excited. Spatial computing, future or fad? Future, 100% for me. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't care about the naysayers. There's so many naysayers out there. They're like, oh, this is like the new blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, this is what I tell people. It's like, you're totally getting it wrong if you think this is only mixed reality. This spatial computing is a new form of computing. It's a domain. And there's all these technologies that are part of that computing. Like mobile computing is a lot of different things, not one thing. So yeah.
You're effectively, you're betting against the idea that computers will actually take into consideration their spatial surroundings. Yep. That's what you're actually betting against. That's the stupidest thing to bet against. Like, that's just silly. It's like saying, well, voice recognition isn't going to be part of computing in the future. Well, yeah, of course it is. And people said the same thing of like when they try to put fingerprint readers into cell phones of like, oh, why would like, because this is how computers,
the keyboard, we're always going to want keys. I'm like, no, obviously we don't want keys. Although there is this trend, this remix.
Yeah. I kind of want one. I'm not going to lie.
Me too. I was like, nice to have those keyboards again, but I don't know. I think it's going to be really interesting to watch what happens over the next couple of days. And I don't know. Yeah. Super busy. Yeah. I did have a conversation with a journalist earlier today, and he was interviewing me about spatial computing. Like, what is this, et cetera. And at some point he said, so is it more like Minority Report? And I said, no, Minority Report has such a negative context to it. I said, it's more like Jarvis. It's more like Jarvis from Iron Man, where you actually co-creating, like, you know how Jarvis helps him like solve problems build things and take the turbine apart or whatever. I was like, no, it's more like Jarvis, to be honest. It's more like that rather than, just manipulating things and looking at the future. Like, I was like, it's more Jarvis. It's less Minority Report. At least that, I hope that's the future though.
That makes a lot of sense, especially with the adaptation that we're seeing with AI and AI is like getting smarter every day. I've learned a lot about training my own over the last couple of weeks. And like, it's not instant. It's just this constant, you are basically teaching a computer to think. And in that process, you have some limitations, but you also have some massive freedoms that you never had before. And so, yeah, it's a bunch of Jarvises, right? I've got a Jarvis that does this over here, but the other one doesn't do that over there. And so you kind of have to pick what you're doing. And you're basically just creating these massive knowledge bases that can help you talk through things. But it's been a game changer for me. I got into a conversation with someone and we were talking about like streaming services, and they're like, what is your favorite subscription? And I didn't even think twice. I said, my favorite subscription has been ChatGPT. And they're like, well, there's a free version. It's like, yeah, but your free version doesn't do what my version does. And then we had a long conversation about like how I use it on a daily basis. And it's not for everybody, right? Like, I don't think my father-in-law needs to pay for a subscription for ChatGPT. Like, he doesn't. He loves, like, because he's a big reader. He's a big reader, and he loves like writing like school papers on the things that he reads. He just he's an interesting guy. But he really loves reading. So he loves having these conversations with ChatGPT about books that like no one else has read. And to see
that's so cool.
But to see if his interpretation matches what with what the writer's mm-hmm. interpretation should have been. There's just so much more of an information, but he can do that on free tier. He loves it.
Yeah.
He uses it all the time. But does he need the subscription?
No, probably. Does he need a paid one? Probably not, you know, probably not. But anyway, I am part of this group that has these weekly meetings, and I can't really disclose much of that, but one of the guests last week, and I wasn't able to join, but in hindsight, I heard a lot about it. She said a lot about, she was talking about how like most of the stuff we're seeing with AI, smoke and mirrors, et cetera. And she made a point. She said, I think the most interesting advancements that we're going to see in AI are going to be in hardware. And I thought that was really interesting, especially with how you use and how you talk to your AI, et cetera. Like,
I don't think it's smoke and mirrors. I mean, Google pulled a little smoke and mirrors thing. So I kind of on the premise of it. I don't think that it's smoke and mirrors. I think that's actually the problem. The fact that they didn't hide how they did it is now causing a lot of news. They're like, well, mm-hmm. you can't pull this information. It's copyright, you know? So I don't know if I agree with that. I think it's pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. I do think that there's a lot of hype around, it's going to like remove all these jobs overnight. That's not the case. Anyone who's trained a ChatGPT and has gotten in the argument loop, and you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know that your job's safe. Like it's eventually, but you got time to prepare. I do suggest you start preparing
Co-pilot. Think of it as your coworker, co-pilot. I don't know. I know you can be a little mean. You can be a little.
Oh, I have cussed out ChatGPT. We've thrown some words around that would not make it into the podcast where I'm just like, what are you doing? I specifically said, don't do this. And you keep doing it.
Yeah. I'm paying you to do this.
Oh, I've had that conversation too.
I'm obviously not paying, ChatGPT to do that, but. You know, I have this executive career coach, GPT, that I worked with someone to create. It's, his name's Jordan Maxwell.
That sounds like Jordan a Maxwell proper, that's a proper name.
Jordan still has some work to do. I got really upset at him the other day. He wasn't getting me what I wanted, but it's okay. He does great things though. He was well-trained. So
I was doing some character development for some of my writing and I wanted to see a picture of what this character looked like. And so I took out of my writing, I dropped the character description and I said, make an image based off this. And it refused to do it. And it wouldn't tell me why. And then I said, it does that thing where it says, this goes against my terms of service. Mm-hmm. And then you're just like, well, what the heck? What part of terms of service did I break here? Mm-hmm. At least tell me that. And then it won't.
Well, I think they've made a lot of changes after the Gary Marcus article in IEEE.
Totally. And I can respect that. And so mm-hmm. what it finally did tell me was, well, I can't make this based off of a literary work. And I was like, well, I wrote this description. Who do you think I'm describing here? And this is not a published work, right? This isn't something that I've published. So I get confused. I'm going back and forth. And then I realize in the description, it's a description of this barista. And she's wearing a beanie with like band buttons on it and a Care Bears patch. And it was the Care Bears patch. And it would not tell me.
Alert. IP.
Yes. And it wouldn't tell me what in the description was keeping it from doing this. It just kept saying, I can't do this based off of a literary work. And it wasn't
the literary work was the Care Bears. Oh,
that got me into a fight. Care Bears. I was yelling.
Oh, gosh, I love the Care Bears. anyway, so I let's go on break. This is going to be a shorter bit of an episode, y'all, but we're going to go on break. And when we get back, we'll talk about some more news around gaming, around VR as well. So let's go on break.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
right, Lee, let's talk a little bit about everything that's happening in the gaming space. It seems like more news, like news, just tons of news every week. Unfortunately, a lot more layoffs, right? More layoffs being announced at Activision and Microsoft Xbox. And also games being canceled. I feel like a lot of the tech companies, like their shares are going up every time they lay off people. So they keep doing it. I don't know. Yeah. That's my perspective. That's how what I'm seeing. So, I mean, for the people in the gaming industry, though, it's been carnage. It's been horrible. Yeah. Lots of people getting laid off. Remember that article I sent you from Matthew Ball? Did I send you that? No, I didn't send it to you. I shared it with my WhatsApp group. But basically, it's the state of gaming. Matthew Ball did a deep dive into it. You know, there's some points I don't agree with him necessarily when it comes to Vision Pro at the end. But yeah, it's a whole deep dive into the state of gaming and how, despite gaming being such a massive thing and having all these wins last year, there's been so many layoffs and so many issues, et cetera. So yeah, I will say this is a really interesting perspective that was presented on LinkedIn by Naomi Augustin Yee from, she's at the World Bank now, I think, but she used to work with me at Magic Leap. We worked on one project together, but she wasn't necessarily on my team. But she said something like she left gaming to go into XR, into extended reality and spatial computing as kind of a new frontier. Like it was a gamble to go into XR.
Totally.
And then now, you know, I personally left XR to go more into the gaming side. To me, it was a new frontier. So it was a new bet. Mm-hmm. What I'm starting to see is all this gaming talent out there in the market. That is a huge opportunity for any company building in spatial. Mm-hmm. Because there's going to be people that game devs that know how to think spatially, that know how to use the game engines. Like that to me is really exciting. I think that's going to fuel a lot of growth, like you said, in launching these new companies that will be the next whatever, you know, the next company. So,
yeah. I mean, the fact of the matter is like it was a rough 2023 if you were a game developer, definitely. It was disheartening to watch all of your favorite, you know, technology brands just lay people off because. And that's, I think that actually hurt a lot of people's opinions of those brands as well. Mm-hmm. You just can't keep doing this quarterly or biannually and expect your reputation to stay trusted. By people, because your employees are related to other people and they're all your consumer. And like, this is just weird. It's just a weird thing I've not seen before. Yeah. But to be fair, I like being fair. It was unprecedented how fast they were hiring people during COVID. So like, yeah, I get that there was this weird population shift where they couldn't hire people. And then all of a sudden they hired everybody. And then they had too many people because the world is a topsy-turvy thing. I get it. I'm willing to allow my emotional pass for this one time. But if this is a trend that keeps going on, people just aren't going to trust working for those jobs.
Well, yeah.
What they will do is start their own companies.
Yeah.
What they will, because at the end of the day, you can have these multi-billion dollar companies, but you got to have talent. You got to have the real, you know, the real minds behind it. And that talent shift, if you don't believe me, look at Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it, right? Like they have a gap where they're needing to hire talented people, and it's proven to be a struggle. And maybe they'll pull it out. You know, it's still around. It's people are still using it. I'm not going to discount, you know, anything that's happening over there. It's just, it's hard to replace really good talented people. And those people often will go out and start your next competitor, or they'll go out and they'll start the next thing that you're not able to do, because that's just,
or that your competition acquires, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. Oof, it's changing. It's turbulent, changing times for sure. So let's see. Gaming layoffs. Future or fad? Oh no. Let it please be a fad.
I mean, I think it's a temporary fad. I think what's going to happen, because this goes back to the Apple Vision Pro conversation, all of it being based around, it's very heavily Unity based. And Unity is another one of these companies that did do some massive layoffs in 2023. Hated to see it. It kind of seems like a little strange considering how many pieces of hardware they've got coming out with their stuff in it. But those people are going to have places to go. People are, when something like this happens, and I've got friends who go through it and they ask for advice, my advice is always the same. And it's like, if you can't get someone to pay you right now, in your downtime, build the thing that you want to build because it's what you have, right? You may have to go and do a job that you don't want to do. Heck, I've had that situation in my career before, but in that downtime, I went and built other stuff that that I believed in when no one else did. And 9 times out of 10, when you build something you believe in, it works. And then you own it. You know, so like,
and you bet on yourself. That's the thing. I feel like with more and more layoffs and people becoming more skeptical about working in certain companies, more people are going to build their own companies because they can bet on themselves, Right. So, definitely. All right. Let's talk a little bit about virtual reality and some of the news out there about using, let me see if I can, follow this one. This one was sent by our producer. It said, robot avatar lets people see and feel things remotely through virtual reality. So thoughts on that? A person wearing a VR headset and haptic feedback gloves can control the iCub 3 robot. A humanoid robot can relay video and touch sensations to a person wearing haptic feedback gloves and virtual reality headset hundreds of kilometers away. Seems like a scene from Upload.
You know, it's... I will say this. If I've been disappointed by anything, it has been about it's been around haptics. I expected haptics to be in such a better place in 2024. A lot of that I think has to do with computer vision. I think spatial computing getting better has like we got hand tracking before we got gloves. Like nobody made that bet in 2016. Yeah. It was Leap Motion, I think, was the only company making that bet. And I think they won on it. You know, I'm sure their patents went to go do something really amazing. But I just kind of want to see more on the haptic side. And we haven't really seen it. Telepresence has been kind of a sci-fi thing people have wanted for a long time. I remember building... when I was working for Will.i.am and we were building the studio in Los Angeles, the studio is called The Future. And this is all public information. We sat down, we're like, well, what do you want to call it? Like, oh, we're going to make this the most science fiction style recording studio in Los Angeles. So, we designed The Future. And one of the things that were in it were these like telepresence machines. It was basically a stick on a Segway, like a miniature Segway, and it had an iPad things. On it.
I had to drive one of those through Magic Leap. I was so stressed I was going to run into someone. Because I'm driving this remotely from my, long story. We'll talk about that another day, but yeah.
Well, and actually Will used it quite a bit. He was just starting, he'd been doing it for a little while. He was doing The Voice in UK. He traveled quite a bit. He was gone for those shoots. And whenever he needed to be at a meeting, like sure enough, there's Will.i.am just wheeling through.
He would roll in.
And it worked. It was kind of like an endearing thing.
It was kind of fun.
It was goofy because we were goofy. We were just being goofy, right? And we had him in there. We were working and having him roll around like that. So it was kind
pretty
of interesting.
Pretty much like an iPad on wheels, let's be honest.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's what it's exactly what it was. It was an iPad on a Segway was what it was. And you could control it from your web browser through Google and things like that. It was kind of neat. And so I see things like this and I'm like, okay, next iteration. I don't, it's probably too expensive, but this is I think where I've always was the differential. I never looked at it at this entire space as like, I recognize it runs on gaming engines, but to me, it's always about, but where does it go to work, right? What's the, what is the enterprise solution for all of this?
Yeah.
So I can look at something like this and go, oh, that's strange, or that's going to raise some eyebrows. But there are enterprise solutions for all of these things that if you just think outside of the box and you're willing to not take the low-hanging fruit of like, VR is great. Let's build a roller coaster. Like, good Lord, don't tell me you want to build a roller coaster ever again. Like, everyone wants to build a roller coaster.
I know the folks are VR coasters, so go build your roller coaster, people. But also, use it for other things in enterprise.
Yes, yes. If you can do it. One company can do the roller coasters. Not everyone needs to go do the roller coasters.
I'm with you.
But yeah, there's all of these technologies out there that have these enterprise solutions. So I try not to discount when I see something weird like this, but it's kind of strange.
I will say, I think with the Apple Vision Pro with personas, it's going to get really interesting because it's a scan of what you look like. And then you'll kind of have that concept of presence in more 3D spatial video. So I'm really looking forward to that with my family.
I love the word persona for this technology. Like, we've talked about Apple, yes, like names, things. That brilliant. Actually, to me, is the best name I've heard, because I don't like the word avatar. The blue people ruined that word.
so like, true.
That it just has gotten to be, I don't know. I was never a fan of it. I understood what it was. I understood why the movie was called Avatar. It is called Avatar for the same reason. But I like persona better. It's a reflection of you, and hopefully a more honest you, a you of who you want to be as well. And that's always been what's driven me towards this.
And I'm looking forward to using it with my family. Like, yeah, that 3D presence. All right. So VR haptics suits.
I don't
future
know.
I'm fad. Gonna, I'm going for fad here.
I'm going for
fatty,
fad too.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I am.
I don't know.
I am.
And then before we go to this patch from the fringe, one more. And you haven't read this one, but there was on the BBC an article that talked about how people on TikTok are creating kind of their own way of talking. Like, there's like a TikTok accent.
A TikTok talk?
TikTok talk. Yes, a TikTok talk. Which is an uptalk and the vocal fry. Those are words on how you're speaking. People are speaking on TikTok. And I thought that was so interesting because I see it. I see it. Like, I know when people, like, as a broadcaster, former mm-hmm. Broadcast journalist being on TV, like, there's a certain way you talk to the camera.
Yes. Yes.
Right. So on TikTok, you're starting to see that. They're called, the uptalk and the vocal fry are things that are part of this new language. And it's mostly women who are changing the way we talk, and that's impacting language.
I think that's true. And I'm not on, and let me be clear, I'm not on TikTok. You will not find me there. I have just generally no interest in it. But coming out of the music industry, there was this tone in female vocals that came out that had a little bit of a lisp. It definitely had its own inflection from like 2010 till about 2020. And it spread like wildfire. Everyone adopted this tone, and it typically happened with female singers, which, it was strange to me, because the whole idea of being an artist is like, you want your own voice to stand out.
Like, you want to be unique, like, and stand out. Right?
I think everyone knows the tone I'm kind of like talking about. Yeah. It pairs well with the ukulele. So like, there was this sound, but at the same time, every single powerful female vocal, like that really stood out, like, you're not going to hear Beyonce sound like that. Mm-mm. You're not going to hear Taylor Swift sound like that. You're just not. Like, the big names know better. They know that they have to sound like who they are to
stand
out. They have
a different range. That's different. Yeah. Like, right? Yeah. There's this like moment of like TikTok talk.
Totally.
TikTok talk. And sounding so...
in the 90s, all radio DJs sounded the same. It was like this guttural, like, you're almost going to vomit sound. Like, that sounds disgusting, but it was this like 95.1. Like, that sound was so predominant. And a lot of that is actually, this is a curious question. I want to read this article now, because
I think you'll definitely, as a former DJ yourself, and me as a former like TV journalist, like, there's an intonation, there's a way you speak to the camera, and it served me well. It served me well when I did live video, and then when I moved, now in technology space where I, do talks and all this stuff, and even on the podcast, right? Definitely very interesting.
I think the hardware dictates it.
Yes.
Like, when I was a radio DJ, like a drive time radio DJ, mm-hmm. playing music, and I had that late 90s guttural DJ voice, it wasn't because it was a fad. It was because that was what mm-hmm. you had to do to sound best to the vocal processor you were running into, because then, like, you didn't have any other control past that. Like, it went into the airwaves and it just sounded like what it was. You go back and you watch like old movies, and they all kind of have this weird inflection.
I know, that's how they used
that inflection. Is because of the microphone.
Interesting.
The microphones didn't have a huge dynamic range, so they were speaking in a way and in a pattern and a cadence that made, by the time that would go to a movie theater that might have just been adopted like audio playback, everyone could understand it. So mm-hmm. that was part of it. It wasn't like an accent from a region. It was, this is what you had to do for that technology. I don't see how that plays.
I don't see
into
how
like,
that happens on TikTok, but I think that there's this way of speaking, and I'll definitely, we'll include it in the show notes because it's a fascinating article. So, you know, do you have a TikTok accent?
yeah. Just the hive mind of it all.
Hive mind of it. So I don't want to do future or fad because this still remains to be seen. You know, and I think social media changes culture, and TikTok has definitely changed a lot of things for sure. So we'll remain that as a, we'll keep that as a question mark. All right. So now we're going to go to our producer, Lily, who's going to do Dispatch from the Fringe, and let's see what she brings us this week. Lily?
Hello, Kathy and Lee. In this week's Dispatch from the Fringe, we're talking about the semi-trucks of space, also known as orbital transfer vehicles. And an article from the Wall Street Journal talks about how orbital transfer vehicles could be used to move satellites and other payloads around space. So rockets blast payloads up into space, but how do they move around once they're up there? Well, startup Argo Space is working on a space transport vehicle that it hopes will one day source water for its propellant from the material that covers the moon. Orbital transfer vehicles could also be used to shift satellites and other devices between orbits and even transport them deeper into space. Startups like Argo think that eventually these orbital transfer vehicles could change how space missions are set up. So these ships could work with rockets from SpaceX, Starship, to Blue Origin, or even United Launch Alliance, Vulcan Centaur. So get ready for the beyond Earth economy as we launch into space with rockets and move around with the semi-trucks of space.
All right. That was quite interesting. What do you think?
I can't help but hear a story like that and not think about Spaceballs. like I just can't. If you start talking about semi-trucks in space, and I know it was an RV, but like it's kind of the same.
It's kind of the same.
Like just two
everything's
guys
a
in
remix,
an RV.
Though. Everything's a remix. They should bring back Spaceballs. How about that? We should start that. Oh my gosh. Who knows what it would be called nowadays? Spaceballs the musical. There you go. Well, kind of. It's already, I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, anyway, Lily, thank you for always bringing the magic and the craziness to Tech Magic. So Lee, thanks for being here for episode 16. It's always a joy to have you.
Thank you.
Awesome. So thanks everyone for listening. We really appreciate everyone subscribing and liking the podcast and sharing it. Please, please share it with your communities if you find it of value. We will be back next week with more Tech Magic. Thank you.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code ADWEEK, that's ADWEEK, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.